Dr. Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about...
Okay, this is a podcast about experiences cooking sausages for the scouts at a local hardware store. Might be very interesting, might be boring. Now, the first thing to note is that I've been doing this off and on for years, just raising money for scouts and different organisations. But it seems the go-to, no-worries way of raising money. And it's done here. And there's a hardware sort of warehouse almost, a very large hardware which exercises some buying power in China. You get some cheap Chinese goods in. Okay, I'm just turning with traffic. Okay, that's a normal turn. I just don't like doing that. I don't have, like, this person was indicating that he was going to change lanes, so I had to accelerate. That's a normal thing. I have to speed at the moment. Okay, so now what's interesting here is that you go in and they say, oh, there's a new rule. You have to put the onions in first because it's 2 sheets of bread, sausages and onions. And what typically happens, people naturally put the onions on top of the sausages, but it's been restructured. And restructured on the definition of the sort of sausages you have to use. You have to cut the sausages in half. So previously you had a fat sausage and you had to cut it in half. And now you've got long sausages and you have to cut that sausage in half, and even 2 half sausages. And what's been specified is that you ought to actually put some onion underneath first and then the sausages on top, because onions on top fall off your sausages, fall down and create a trip hazard. And I thought, well, like, go on. But then attached to the tent, the sausage cooking tent, is diagrams showing exactly how to do it, and it's signed off occupational health and safety with it specified, and also saying to avoid tripping hazard. And it's like it's been promulgated down that. Sort of the irony is that there's people are walking in with these cans of paint and petrol and, you know, all the ladders, you know, hazard is just go in and out of the doors here, but they've got the onion problem solved. And that's sort of a little bit about the world, is that any sort of repeat organisation with instructions giving on from person to person, not DIY but a group doing, lays itself open. I don't think it's necessarily bad, but due to people tend to focus on that, I don't think it's that bad. Or there's echidnas. I just saw that picture of an echidna, so I'm going down into a from Valley Heights into a valley called something called Sun Valley. And this, if you can believe it, is a valley, but it is actually a volcano. At the base is a volcano. What happens is the volcanic lava goes up, and rather than building a center cone, explosively mixes with the water and just blows all the rock up. And so this is a crater here I'm going to, and there's sort of wildlife about the place, and the echidna is our little monitoring. I'm pretty sure that the road symbol is anatomically incorrect. I just had a quick look at it, and there seems to be things wrong with it. Yeah, so the actual, going back into it, the actual barbecue there, they've introduced more stringent requirements, safety requirements, i.e. that you're a volunteer organisation, but you have to have at least 2 people running it, because someone, you can't cook and handle money. That's a separate thing. So all these signs up directing you what you can do. I'm just going to stop here, and I'll continue talking about... just pulling into the wrong lane. I'm just going to buy some produce. See you later. Okay, continuing here, I've just gone through that particular errand, and I suppose I'll stop. I was just buying some rabbit and guinea pig food, and from this produce place, sort of farm up here, and I suppose the shock news is that guinea pigs chow through food at a rate which is completely off scale compared to at least an elderly rabbit. Now, a rabbit who's getting 5-6 years old and is not chewing through as much food. Of course, only the premium quality produce we buy for what we buy, Asian vegetables and various things like that. But each time I go there, there's some new thing happening. Last time I went there, there was lemongrass. Bedding, which is supposed to be superior bedding for animals, and I found out that wasn't right. But now there's Lithuanian peat moss, 4 cubic feet of Lithuanian peat moss, and I asked the person, what's that for? They have no idea. Is it in actual fact a product of Lithuania? Because there's a big problem bringing anything with soil into the country. Absolutely no. They only sell 4 cubic feet of this peat moss. Once every couple of months, someone comes in and buys the peat moss. What would you use the peat moss for? And how does it fit? How does it fit into the Australian system? Because there's no water in Australia. There's no peat. There'd be no peat. I think there might be peat moss in one of the Antarctic islands or something like that. There's definitely no peat. So why would you be buying that? I suppose you might be doing it for hanging baskets or something like. I don't know. Be some need for it. So that's a thing I learned each time. Again, learned from this barbecue. The whole overarching system, this is going back to the barbecue that we're doing, the overarching system of actually people worrying about and making a pronouncement that putting onions on your bread first, the onions are less likely to fall off and go onto the ground if your sandwich drops than if the onion is actually skewered onto the bread. It will tend to stick there, whereas if it's sitting on a sausage and you drop it, it will go out and then cause a tripping hazard in the, which is all true. There's again tripping hazards, picking grapes, having grapes and various fruit. There's a whole system of tripping hazards there. But the other, I suppose, interesting thing with this, I'm turning right here, left here, taking a long, long time for all these cars and buses and motorcycles and the like to come over the Blue Mountains. There's a sort of bend in the road, a gap. I think I'm going to really risk it here, mate. Here we go. Okay, so I barbecued with another dad, and he was a deaf dad, and the son was there to sign to him typically the number of onions that had to be put on a small amount to him, and eventually I learned some sign language, and the sign language for onion is... you just wipe a tear away from, this is Australian sign language, a tear away from the side of your nose. Isn't that beautiful? And I was listening quietly, coached in sign language, and just a very subtle little thumb up. And so often sign language is said really quickly, but with sort of half symbol, so people know the context. So if you want to talk about onions, you just flick your hand up and point to your nose, you know, or the side of your face, because people know that's what you want to do. And so I was able to assign a small amount of onion. That's good. That's what the only. And what was really interesting was that once I learned to sign, the person seeing my sign thought nothing of it. It was just, that was perfectly natural. It was quite interesting to actually get that all sorted out. And what would happen is that I'd say to the son something I'd like to say to the dad, and he would edit it. He'd just not bother to say it because it was so stupid anyway. So that's a nice little aspect there. And that's about it in terms of that barbecue. And the tires have changed. So during elections, it is classic. You know, everyone in elections in Australia, if voting is compulsory, so there's a whole lot of, and there's a whole lot of things which happen different in Australia than it does in the United States. So Australia had, we had the first women voting in the world. Everything was organised. I don't know, the people organised it really wanted voting to work. Now, the reason I'm talking about this is that traditionally in Australia, everyone's out. They have to vote, so they have garage sales. All the primary schools have sausage sizzles. And we, many years ago, used to have a little sausage sizzle outside in front of our house. So we're at opposite of school, and people pulling up would buy sausage and would raise a little bit of money for Australian Breastfeeding Association, ABA. Just watching what's happening here. Let's look at the speed here. There's a whole lot of things that don't happen in Australia. Do happen in Australia. Don't happen in Australia that do happen in America. So the electoral boundaries are set by completely independent institution, and the elections are run completely independent of any state control. So really it's paid by the Commonwealth government, but it's sort of a special thing to stop government interference. And it's at these things everyone has cake stalls and sausages, and there's this thing where they're trying to get the photographs of politicians eating the primary school sausage sandwiches, and it's always funny about how politicians have to, but it looks as though it's a phallic thing they're putting your mouth around. So there's always a sense of humour of seeing them break off their sausage. Yeah, there's photographs of the people doing it. So that will probably be the next thing I'll be involved in. And there's all this thing about buying cakes and stuff like that, and a lot of these things are I don't know how the donations work, but a lot of things you buy are not obviously there's sausages. I think it's $2.50 for a sausage. That is a bit of money made out of it, but a lot of these things are not at cost. So you would buy a fairly large cake for $5, which is something. The price of a cup of coffee, or in a cake shop, you'd accept to buy a slice of cake for, say, $7, and you can buy a whole cake. And what happens is that what really happens is that people donating are actually donating the staff, and people sell the staff. It's sort of a weird, wacky way, because it would be much better if the people actually just donated the money they spent making the cakes or the sausages directly to the organisation. But no. You spend the money, you make the food very cheaply, and then you sell it. So I suppose there must be some sort of PR aspect of it, and you have various chats. I'll get back. There'll be a few minutes for the next chat before this finishes over the story of sausages. So I'm in the final leg home, and you might sort of say, why am I doing these podcasts? Now, the thing is to talk about this, I have to memorize or remember and convert to thought, remember what I've been talking about and convert to thought. So what we've done so far is have a little inside review of barbecuing, charity barbecuing in Australia, some of the quirks about occupational health and safety, and specifying how you have to actually give people sausages in Australia. It's got a bit of a weird one. A little bit about the experience of barbecuing with a deaf person and learning a bit of sign language across there. And then that sort of drifted to other barbecue experiences, which is limited to a big barbecue day at when you have elections and everyone gets out and essentially it's a fairly standard thing for most people to have a sausage sandwich with their vote, and it's coming out there and just saying that nowadays, about 15 years ago or probably 20 years ago to be short, probably 20 years ago, you would, 15 years ago, around that time bracket. So I just had to focus myself, watch a podcast and talk at the same time. This is a really brave cyclist coming around here. Okay. Yeah, you'd be able to set up your barbecue and just sell sausages off it. But now it's becoming increasing. You wouldn't be able to do that now. I suppose you might be able to, but all these regulations, which, you know, unregulated barbecue, and even having a street party. If you want to have a street party, that is a party on the street, and you may want to, you have to tell the police or the road traffic authority checks that it's not going to disrupt traffic and all that kind of stuff. And then they say you've got to pay so much insurance for it. And again, all obviously civil. You have a barbecue in your own property. I find it rather difficult to fathom how this all works. But I do know that our traditional Christmas street party, which is held at our street, has had to be closed down because it was too difficult to get authorization for it. So this is, what a crazy world it is. From everything being spontaneous to everything being highly regulated, and things are, there's often parallel things which happen in Australia, which happen in the United States. We've had a radical person, so there's no, as far as I know, there's no massive gun shooting. I don't think, there's been a domestic gun shooting. I think three people shot in a family in Western Australia this year. But I think for many years we haven't had anything like that. And the police responses, I think they are tuning their police response. And this is really interesting that they say, in this stabbing, which happened in Melbourne, two people died, including the perpetrator. So that it's sort of a way of not creating an us and them, being saying it's a tragic thing that he was Somalian people, and of course they're poor Somalian people in Melbourne, at least, are getting knocked around a lot. They're sort of being welcomed into our sporting clubs because they're good cricketers and good runners. But there's the usual angst. So all these groups coming into Australia, and of course there's our border protection where we don't let people cross our borders, and I don't know, so it's all a very complex, not a complex thing, it is a not something to comment on, but it is a country where things are, I suppose, regulated and fair, and people don't make much of a fuss. It allows people to set up highly regulated but fair, but then it feels a bit crazy sometimes. And that's sort of obviously not a big ask to change the order. You have to regulate whether you can put onion, where you have to put onion first and put the sausages on top of it. It's not much, so it's a very big spectrum of different things happening. And unfortunately, that's the end of my ride, and unfortunately, this is just more an exercise for me, but maybe of interest to someone overseas, the odd person listening to hear this story. Thanks for listening.
Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.